The Soul of Philanthropy, Reframed and Exhibited, Friday, January 20th at 6 p.m. at Concordia University's George R. White Library, 2800 Northeast Liberty Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
On January 20th, during the coronation of Donald Trump, Grassroots News will host a very special show, The Soul Music in Movies, The Soul of Soundtracks. On From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary. From the Grassroots, with local and national political commentary provided by Landon Kroll, and musical analysis by our art historian, Diane Johnson. From the Grassroots, January 20th from 8 until 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 9 a.m. Coming up on Veterans Voice, a call to end the military-industrial complex, plus Angie and Marvin look at what the effect of a Trump presidency will mean for veterans. And at 10, we begin our special Inauguration Day special coverage. Voices of a Nation, a call to action. Reports, protests, rallies, and walkouts from across the nation and the world. Live broadcasts from Austin, Chicago, Denver, Lansing, London, New York, San Francisco, and more, voicing what this moment in our history means to citizens. And thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not currently a member of the KBOO Foundation, you can remedy that oversight at kboo.fm. You click on the word donate. Stay tuned.
To the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. 'Cause the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. The mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times they are a-changing.
Welcome to Veteran Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, and 104.3 FM Corvallis in Albany. And you can also hear KBOO on the World Wide Web at kboo.fm. And you can hear some of our older shows also on kboo.fm/Veterans Voice. Plus, we have a Facebook page that Angie keeps up because I don't know how to do it. And if you go to on the Facebook and go into Veterans Voice Radio Show, you can see some of the great stuff that Angie has put on Facebook. And you can friend us. And I know people read it because I get stuff on it about it all the time. I'm Marvin, and I'm here with Angie.
Hello.
And before we get started, I want to say how happy I am when I heard that Chelsea Manning was going to be getting out of prison in May, and I'm really proud, happy that she. I'm sad that she had to spend 7 years in prison when other folks did what she did, but maybe even worse, like Petraeus. He didn't get anything done to him, and. What she did, you know, was a lot less than what most people did. Is that now? Yeah, Sam. Trump's speech is going. Okay, and Derek said, go ahead. We wanted to have him play that.
It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day, this is your celebration, and this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities, rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge. And the crime, and the gangs, and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. We are one nation, and their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. And spent trillions and trillions of dollars overseas while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. We've made other countries rich while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed all across the world. But that is the past. And now we are looking only to the future. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down. America will start winning again, winning like never before. We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders. We will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams. We will build new roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways all across our wonderful nation. We will get our people off of welfare and back to work, rebuilding our country with American hands and American labor. We will follow two simple rules: buy American and hire American. We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world. But we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue
silence. Well, that was about enough of that. I couldn't stand it. I just couldn't stand it. Angie and I were talking back and forth while he was telling these big, filthy lies about stuff, you know? One of the things that, you know, he's talking about the military, you know, we have the biggest, baddest military in the world. I mean, we spend more money on our military than we spend on anything. And he's talking this stuff, you know? And then he's talking, Angie brought up that he outsources his businesses to overseas. Tell him where he sends it.
He has overseas business. He makes products in Mexico, China, Bangladesh, Turkey. He makes vodka in the Netherlands. And so if he was actually serious about that, then why isn't he making his own products here in the United States?
Yeah, he talks about, you know, bringing jobs back and everything. It was his buddies and pals that sent these jobs overseas. You know, Angie was telling me that, what is it, five of his?
I believe that he has just under 300 products that are made overseas.
Overseas? Yes. Jeez, that's just man. And, you know, he said he was going to drain the swamp in D.C. Yeah, he drained the swamp right into his regime, you know? He has something like five Goldman Sachs people.
He has five Goldman Sachs people currently that will be working with him. And also what is even more concerning is the ExxonMobil CEO, former ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson.
Yeah.
And have you heard about the 9 U.S. veterans of Iraq, Afghanistan, and other U.S. conflicts that occupied Senator John McCain's office in D.C.?
Yeah, and they got arrested, didn't they?
Seven of them got arrested, and this is what happened. They were standing at parade rest in Senator John McCain's office, and they had a very clear message. They did not want Rex Tillerson to be the Secretary of State.
Yep.
He has no prior government service, and he is not a veteran. He has no quote unquote skin in the game as far as serving the people at all. He's only served himself, and it is really troubling that he is going to be the Secretary of State. And not only that, but there is a hashtag for this for Twitter. If people do Twitter, hashtag vets reject Rex. That is the name of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to take us into another war.
He's definitely going to do that.
He does not care about serving the United States. And that's what's is really everything that Trump is saying is a great hypocrisy. We already know that, but we need to call him out on that.
Yes, we need to call him out on that. I was yesterday. I was listening to the radio, and they brought up that T. Rump and Pence went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers in Washington, and I could just feel the anger coming up in me. You know, here's both of these guys that had their chance to go to war, to be in the military, and they didn't take it, you know? Neither one of those guys did it, and now they're in a position where they can send people to their deaths, you know, and they're laying a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. That just made me so angry, you know.
Well, the thing that is really, really telling is that Trump dodged the draft.
Yes, he
not
did.
One, not two, not three, not four, but five times. Four of them were for college, and one of them was for bad feet.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about that, I was going to talk about that too. What he had was called a minimum medical deferment. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that some draft boards were taking those guys. Some of the draft boards were taking those guys with those minimal things because what they were saying, they would get into the military, they'll take care of it. You know, all he had was heel spurs or something like that, which they just cut off and it's no problem. You know, I had a bad knee.
I have minor scoliosis. And
yeah.
They diagnosed me with that in MEPS. And I still went.
I was going for my draft physical, and I said, well, my knee sometimes swells up if I bent, you know, if I hit it or something. And the Army doctor looked at me and said, we'll take care of that when you're in the Army, so get back in line, you know.
I just want to.
And they put me in the infantry.
That I want to make something really clear, and that's that I am completely disgusted and ashamed that Trump, in his Trump Tower, lined with inheriting $250 million and lined with all this extravagant gold and fancy, completely 1%, completely disconnected from the American people and everybody, the people
yeah.
of the world. He is completely disconnected from the citizens of the world in every way. And I am absolutely disgusted and ashamed that he is going to be the quote-unquote commander-in-chief of the U.S. Marines,
military.
The U.S. Navy,
mm-hmm.
the U.S. Air Force, the Coast Guard, and the reserves. And he's never held any public office, and he dodged a draft five times because
yep.
he's rich.
Yep.
And he has no idea what a poverty draft means. He has no idea what going to the Veterans Hospital looks like.
No, he doesn't. And Angie and I were talking about
that. Has he ever even been in a Veterans Hospital?
I doubt it very much.
I bet he's never even walked into one.
Yeah, I doubt it very much, you know. Like you were saying, you know, he drafted.
And we have to remember, what does the Veteran Hospital say when you walk in?
Yeah.
What does that say?
I can't remember.
It says, the price of freedom is visible here.
Yeah.
If you walk down into the Portland VA hospital, it says right on the wall when you walk in, the price of freedom is visible here.
Right,
that's because
now.
War and illegal U.S. occupations that have been going on for a very, very long time, but are continuing, and they're continuing because we still have over 15,000 military personnel, whether they're not necessarily all active duty, but they are advisors
right.
and things like that. We still have 15,000 people in the Middle East right now. It's right now as we speak.
Yeah.
We're still conducting airstrikes, and he's going to be in charge of this?
Yeah. Angie was telling me something, too, that I hadn't heard because I've been snowed in up in the Coast Range, and I didn't hear. But she just told me a little bit ago that they just sent some Marines?
300 Marines were just sent to Norway. And the reason for that supposedly is to do winter Arctic training. However, Russia supposedly is upset about that, but I don't understand why that's so upsetting, because we have all these ties between Trump and Russia anyway.
And Trump and China.
So this really looks to me, I don't know about you or what other people think, but this looks to me like a coup is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really just going to be keeping an eye on what is going on. But we do have one good thing that has happened, and that is that Chelsea Manning
is
out. Well, we'll be out in May. Which is very good news. And people who mostly on the right side, conservatives are very upset about this, and Republicans are upset about this. They think it sends a negative message, but I think that I am really happy about that.
I'm very happy.
We know that there are other
political prisoners.
There are other political prisoners that have yet to come.
Yes, Chelsea spent 7 years in prison. Edgy was telling me that she spent a bunch of that in solitary confinement. She tried to commit suicide, and now she's going to be out, and that's really a good thing, and I'm so happy for her. And something else, we're talking about the military. These people use our military as a tool. That's what they use them as, a tool. And that tool is to keep capitalism and imperialism going, and they use our military to do that. And I was listening to, I can't remember what the guy was going to be, Secretary of State or something, or it was one of the generals or other, and he was saying, we cannot allow China to use those bases in this South China Sea that they built illegally, you know? And that's just like putting this red flag out in front of China, you know? They don't understand, you know? They don't understand that. They don't think far enough ahead, because for one thing, if we get into a war with China, China has a treaty with Russia, you know? And we'll be fighting in their backyard. So their lines of communication and supply and everything is nothing, where ours would be huge and long. You know, we learned nothing from Vietnam. Huh. We learned nothing from Vietnam, you know? So they be talking stuff like that. That just causes more trouble than they can get. You know, even the Philippines is backing away from the U.S. and making, talking with China and talking with Russia, you know? So, you know, and like we just said a little earlier, that Trump.
We can just call him.
I won't call him president. Trump. I will never call him president, because he is not the president. You know, he's in that office, but he is not the president. And I get sick and tired of these people saying, well, just get over it. You know, just get over it. I'm not going to get over it, you know. That's just like telling us over the Vietnam War, you know? I'm not going to get over the Vietnam War.
It's really easy for... One of the things I've heard and read online and heard from people is, why don't you just give them a chance and see what happens?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, the problem with that is you can give them a chance and see what happens if you're not in his line of fire.
Right, exactly.
If you're not in his line of fire, then you're in a safe zone, and that is not everybody in the United States right now. That
nope.
is not everybody that's in prisons right now.
No. Nope.
That's not all the people who are overseas right now.
Exactly.
And there's no safety there under this coup takeover.
Yeah, I call it a regime. You know, it was a regime. I'm not going to call it, you know, it's a regime. You know, and the thing about this guy is, in the military, we learned one thing. We can tell if someone's full of it, you know. We can tell by just listening to them and watching them, because we learned that, because that's how we survived. I remember in Vietnam, in my unit, you know, you could tell the guys you could trust. You could tell the guys that's going to cover your back, you know, by talking to them. And you could tell the ones that just weren't going to cut it. And Trump is one of those guys, you know. I was listening to him when he talked so bad about women. So bad about women, you know. And I thought of my sister and my mother and Angie and other Teresa and Ani and Kathleen and all these people that are my friends, you know, when he said stuff about women, you know. And then I watched him when he was talking about this reporter that had a physical disability, remember? And I had a cousin, her name was Karen Lee. And she's lived in Missouri, so we call her by her first and middle name, Karen Lee. And Karen Lee, we called her Shorty. And she was born with mental and physical disabilities. And she was the sweetest, loving girl, you know? And she only lived to be 40 years old, but she was so loving and caring. And me, my brother, her brother, and another cousin, anybody that would say anything about Karen Lee, call her names or whatever, tease her, we beat them up, you know? We beat them up for doing that to our cousin. And if it was the girls that did it, teased her and whatever, her sister, she had two sisters, two of my cousins were her sisters, and they took care of the people who messed with Karen, you know? And when I saw that man talk about that guy with those disabilities, again, that made me so angry, because he has no respect for people. He really doesn't. When he talked about the Black Lives Matter, when he talked about John Lewis, you know, when he said that about John Lewis, a man who fought for civil rights, got beat up, you know, got clubbed and fought so hard, and he's calling him names, you know, that just tells you what that guy's personality is. You know, it just talks about, it tells you about his personality. And when he, like I said, when he said those things about women, I was so angry. And when, you know, when our sisters are back in D.C. going to march tomorrow, boy, I tell you, I support them 1,000%. And our sisters here in Portland tomorrow when they march, you know, I support them 1,000% also. And some of the, you know, it just, you know, Angie, I was reading about four times in this country's history, the person who got the popular vote lost because of Electoral College. Two of them were in the 1800s, I believe, but two of them were in our time, in 2000 and 2016. And 2000 was George W. Bush, another coward. And what he did, that was a coup. That was definitely a coup when he was put into that office by the Supreme Court. That was nothing more than a coup. But I was looking back. I went back and looked at the votes and everything and Electoral College. And you know how many electoral votes that Bush got? You have to, I think it's like 538. You have to get 270 to win, right? Which, I mean, that's an outdated relic of early on. And who made the Electoral College was the founding fathers, who were elitist in the first place. You know, that's why they put that in. They didn't try. If you really want to know about the Electoral College, you know, I have a master's degree in early American literature and early American history, so I studied that stuff. And one of the things that I studied a lot was the Federalist Papers. And the Federalist Papers, if you want to really know what the Electoral College was all about, read the Federalist Papers. Read the James Madison's Federalist number 10, and also read Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Paper number 68. And they tell you exactly what it was. And they, the elitists in the founding fathers, didn't trust the common man. They had no respect for the common man, and they did not think that they would do the right thing and elect somebody that was an elitist to lead the country. That's all it was about. And they, to do that, they had to give the South something. What they gave the South was each of the slaves were considered 3/5 of a human being, you know. That's why they did that. But they had no respect or trust of the average American to vote. But getting back to the 2000, sorry, Angie, I just kicked Angie's foot. And get back to that election of 2000. You know how many Electoral College votes that Bush lost the popular vote? Mm-hmm. He lost it. You know how many electoral votes he got? 271.
Wow.
271. And look at the damage he did in those 8 years that he was in office. For 8 years, he just destroyed this country. He got us into wars that we're still in. He made the economy just tank, you know? And so that was the first one. And
he didn't criminalize any of the people who caused everybody to get kicked out of their houses, including my own parents.
Oh, really?
My parents were, we lost our family home to predatory lenders.
Wow.
At that time. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
My family had been living, we had been living in the same place for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a notice one day that said, in 30 days, you're going to be evicted. And so that's how we ended up, my parents ended up going to Eastern Oregon.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's one of the most upsetting things, is that people can cause these crimes that completely collapse lives. It really damaged my family a lot.
No, oh, I can imagine.
To be kicked out of your home with two kids and me overseas. And that just, it really hurt and is terrible that nobody is held accountable for that.
In fact, the guy that did it to one of them is being considered for, what is it, some cabinet position in the Trump regime. So what is it, Sam? Oh, yeah.
It's the Treasury.
Yeah, the Treasury. And this is a guy that bought one of those banks that was doing that and just kicked all these people out of their houses.
The name of the bank was Ocwen.
Yeah, and then they changed it to One West or something like that.
The name of the bank that we were under is Ocwen, and they have,
oh, really?
they have done this over and over. They are a predatory lender scam.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. Very dangerous to get involved with that bank.
Yeah, yeah. And let's get up to date for the fourth time where the person with the popular vote didn't get to be the president, and Hillary Clinton got 65,844,954 votes, and T. Rump got 62,979,878 votes. She beat him by 3 million votes. But the problem is the Electoral College. And Clinton, she got 227 electoral votes, and T. Rump got 304. And so that 77 votes put him in charge of this country, you know, put him in charge of the damage that's going to be caused by putting him in there. And it's not going to be nice. They're already talking about taking, they're going to, I think that I heard that they're going to cut $10 trillion out of the budget. Something like that,
yet,
I was hearing.
Yet he's going to expand the military.
Yeah, he's going to expand the military.
We already have 58 cents to the dollar that goes to Department of Defense spending. How much more do we actually need? We already spend more than all the other major countries combined.
Right.
Combined.
Right. And also with the EPA, a whole bunch of their money goes to keep the nuclear programs going, the bombs and all of that. You know, they're not going to cut that. They're going to cut welfare. They're going to cut schools. They're going to cut health. They're going to cut everything that what he promised these people, that he was going to make America great, but he's not. He's going to cut all the programs that these people need, you know?
Which leads us to another subject we should probably take a minute to talk about, and that's his talk during several of his I guess yellings.
Yeah.
They're not really speeches, they're more tantrums. Him talking about privatizing the VA.
Oh yeah.
So that is very troubling. The current VA secretary that he has, Department of the VA that he has, is an Obama administration holdover.
He was assistant secretary of the VA, I think.
He is against privatizing the VA, but we don't know if Trump is going to change this person or appoint somebody else. That could happen. We don't know if he's going to decide to kick him out later, and he can do that. So what is really troubling is he is talking about an opt-out of the VA program for veterans. Mm. He's talked about privatizing or at least expanding the privatization of the VA. And we know that this is really troubling. We know that this is really, really not going to be good for veterans at all, because at the VA, they have health care that is specific for veterans. And that is something that is really necessary. We already have in the United States, if you're a veteran that lives over 50 miles from a VA, you can go to any health clinic you want. That is really good for people who live in rural communities, like where my parents live or something like that.
Yeah.
They can still go to a hospital and be seen, but they won't have to pay for it.
Right, the VA will pay for that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If there's over a, what is it,
90 days.
If it's over 90 days of a waiting time for your appointment, then you can go to a different clinic.
And VA will pay for it.
But the opt-out program, that is really troubling, because they have, at the VA, they have, at least in the Portland VA, I'm really happy with it, I have to say.
I don't have a problem with it.
I've gotten really good results from there. And so I think it's really, really just, that's something that we're going to have to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right. The one thing, you know, with this whole thing about opting out is really a bad idea. And, you know, the VA has really started to get so much better. And in fact, I think the Portland VA was one of the very first that had a clinic for female veterans, I think. Angie, is that true?
They do. They have a really good clinic.
Yeah, for just women. Because I can understand why women would want to be their own clinic away from the guys. I can understand that. But we get medical, we get dental, we get vision, we get what else do we get, Andy? We get a lot of stuff. But
well, you get dental if you're 100%. I don't
see. I think that should be changed too.
I don't get that. I don't get dental. However, one of these days we should really do a show about veterans who don't get to go to the VA because they were given honorable discharges or something of that nature. Because if you remember when we interviewed Scott Olson,
right.
He was given an other than honorable because they said that he did cocaine, which he had not done. Right. And I believe that he did not do that.
I believed him 100%.
I know other people. If the military doesn't like you, they will find a way to make your life suffer.
Right.
And I remember a guy that I served with that was stop lost.
Oh boy.
And he was sent to the Middle East. And kept over his time. If people don't like you, if somebody in your command doesn't like you, then they will make your life miserable.
Yes, they will.
And they will do that. So
yes, they
we
will.
Have to remember some other things that we have to remember and keep our mind on as this time goes on is we still have 59 prisoners in Guantanamo.
In Guantanamo. They just let some four out.
Did they?
Yeah, they just let four out and they took them to United Arab Emirates, I think. But there's still more in there. When does that lease?
That means there's 55 left.
Yeah, something like that. But how long more does the U.S. have a lease on Cuban land? I don't know how much longer they have that.
It's a really good question.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer they have that. But, you know, what I think, T. Rump says that he wants to have health care for everyone?
Well,
you know, that's something I don't think he thought through.
The troubling thing about Guantanamo,
yeah, go ahead,
is that we're actually building it bigger right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we are actually expanding Guantanamo right now. I read this article earlier, and the title, it's from military.com, so it's basically the own military saying this.
There, yep.
Military.com, the article is, "For Guantanamo prisoners, questions loom as Trump era begins." That's the name of the article.
Mm-hmm.
And we are building a medical clinic, $8.4 million right now, that's expanding. And we're also building a dining hall, and that is $12.4 million. So We're building it bigger.
Right. I heard that.
Bigger.
Bigger, yeah. I was heard on the news, I don't know what it was, you know, who said it or whatever. And this guy was bragging. He says, with Trump in there, we're going to get a lot more of the bad guys and put them in Guantanamo. That's what the guy said.
And maybe that's why we're building on it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It could be. So there's no, you know, if they're talking like that and going to give more money to the military, they're not planning a dance party.
No, it's nothing like that. Do you know what the biggest overseas military expansion project in the world is right now?
Mm-mm.
We're building a $100 million drone base in Africa right now.
Oh, yeah, Africa.
We are doing that. It's in Agadez, Niger. It's $100 million
drone base. Yeah.
And that is expanding and expanding and expanding. So we might have less actual physical troops going out this way and that way over the years, which we've seen that decline.
Yeah.
That means more military contractors, more drone strikes,
right,
more covert operations.
Right.
And those things are harder and harder for us to track. And then when somebody like Chelsea Manning comes out and blows a whistle on that, then we throw people like that in prison.
Right. Yeah. Also, I was, you know, T-Rump was complaining about, you know, NATO is, you know, no good. NATO's not paying their fair share and all this. That in South Korea right now, they're building a huge military base there. I mean, it's huge. And the South Koreans are paying for it.
I believe that we have about 30,000
troops over there
in, right, South Korea right now.
Yeah.
And things are amping up. There was a military warship. I can't remember if it was a destroyer or maybe it was a cruiser. Anyway, they actually launched warning flares at an Iranian boat.
Oh, I heard that too.
This little stuff is happening, and I know that seems like a small, minuscule thing, but being on a warship for 3.5 years,
mm-hmm,
when little stuff like that happens, all it will take, because I have to say, they are really, the military is trigger happy.
Oh yeah,
it is very, very trigger happy, and they are ready to go. And the thing is most of the people who are on these boats or in these units are like 19 to 22 year old guys.
Yeah,
and they want something to happen.
Yeah, they're full of testosterone.
A lot of times you're sitting in a boat and you're bored out of your mind if you're just floating around. And so when people start saying there's this inbound thing coming, and it almost amps it up to the point where you almost want something to happen.
Or someone's going to make a mistake.
And that unfortunately, that is the inside. I'm giving you an inside perspective on what a military mindset is, and that's
right,
what it is.
Right. And look what China now has an aircraft carrier. And when Taiwan, you know, we have that one China policy, and it's worked very well, kept us out of each other's throats, you know, China and the U.S. kept settled. But now, T-Rump is talking about doing away with that. That's a problem. That's a big problem.
What do you mean?
What he wants to do is have Taiwan wants to be a separate nation. They don't want to be even connected with China. And by Trump talking to them, sends that word to China that maybe, you know. And so China just took their new, I don't know who they bought it from, but they now have an aircraft carrier. And they were going between Taiwan and mainland China with their aircraft carrier. And so what did the U.S. do? They sent ships out there to watch it. You know, that is really provocative. Hmm. And that could be a real, real problem. China has more people than we have. They have modern weapons, you know. They have everything that they need. They have nuclear weapons, which I was going to bring up. That guess what Trump has now? He's probably already been sworn in, and his new regime is in place. He's got the nuclear football. You know what that is, right? It's a case that has all the codes for firing off the nuclear weapons, you know? So here's this guy that's not completely mentally balanced, has his finger on the trigger, you know? And so if they keep messing with China, China has nuclear weapons. Russia has nuclear weapons, you know? That's a real problem. And this guy has his finger on the trigger? That's a real problem. They talk about all this stuff that they want to do and all this, but they don't understand this world is huge. This world is not going to put up with the United States doing all this stuff. You know, if he wants to put tariffs on Chinese merchandise, that could start a real trade war, you know. And since we owe so much money to China, that could be a real problem. So he doesn't think. He talks when he doesn't think. And that's why people fell for this crap this guy is saying, you know? He just talks this stuff, and these people don't understand, you know, that's a real danger.
Well, it's really getting people to communicate with each other, though, in this time. I think we all have noticed that a lot more people are coming together right now. I think that's one of the positive things that we can build on right now.
Exactly.
As broken up as we are, as people, there are opportunities to find other people that you relate to and can see through some of this stuff. And
right.
I want to just say that we had when I say we, I mean the local Iraq Veterans Against the War Portland chapter here had a panel discussion, and that was in the Multnomah Friends Meeting House.
I was snowed in. I wanted to come to that so bad.
It may be on YouTube by now, but that's okay. We had a really good panel discussion. We had what the purpose of it was. The purpose of it was called Drop the Mic Tour.
Oh, yeah, Drop the Mic.
Drop the Military Industrial Complex, okay? That's what that stands for. And what it was is all over the United States, Iraq Veterans Against the War members and or veterans in general were conducting these testimonies in their local communities. And what that was supposed to, what that is representing is it's kind of going off of the Winter Soldier testimonies that happened in DC for 3 days. Hundreds of veterans testified. And this is all on YouTube as well. You should really check it out if you haven't had a chance. Anyway, we had somebody from, let me back up a bit. We wanted to include more voices than just veterans. Mm-hmm. We wanted to show that there are all kinds of intersections happening with these issues of war and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had somebody from the environmental justice community speak. And we know that the U.S. military is the largest polluter in the world. Not just the U.S., but
worldwide.
Is it the world?
I think it is.
I think so. At least it's in the United States.
Yeah.
We had somebody, a Mexican-American Army veteran, who was the founder of MECHA at PSU and is doing a lot of work with migrant rights and social justice, then myself. And what I talked about was our current military state. I talked about how many refugees were displaced in the world right now, which there are more people displaced on the planet than there has ever been in the history of the world.
Yeah, more than after World War II.
The largest exodus of humans from Syria.
Oh, boy.
Ever. And we're not helping. And so we also had somebody who, Mimi German actually, but she, mm-hmm. she spoke not so much about nuclear stuff, but she spoke about she's doing a lot of community involvement directly within her neighborhood, her surrounding neighbors.
Good deal.
It's a project that they have each other's phone numbers and they can contact each other. Everybody mm-hmm. knows everybody. And then we had a Pastor Leroy Haynes. He was a civil rights leader. He marched alongside Dr. King. He is a former Black Panther.
Wow.
Really incredible. And then we had another Navy veteran who talked about organizing young liberal people.
Speaking of really, really good African-American folks, tell them who's going to be on next month's show.
Next month, we are going to have Jonathan Hutto. He's somebody that I met at a progressive leadership training for veterans. And he's located on the East Coast. He is a very educated guy. He has done lots of work. His family comes from a history of civil rights, the right. Civil rights movement. Very educated. He wrote a book called Anti-War Soldier, How to Dissent Within the Ranks of the U.S. Military. And he's African-American. He joined the Navy a little bit later. He was a little bit older. And he joined the military at a time when he was already an activist
right.
by the time he joined. But when he was in... While he was in, he witnessed, as many people do if they have even partially one of an eye open, racism, sexism, and all types of other forms
isms.
Of just really, really dirty, horrible, unprofessional behavior that happens within the military.
Right.
And so he's going to be on next month,
right.
and he does so much work. He's worked with the ACLU, who... The military at the time when he was in said was a communist backed.
Yeah. So we'll be doing. We only have a few minutes left, and Sam, we're going to be going out here in just a minute with the song that we usually end with the show. So we're gonna. Can you get that ready for us? And I want to say keep up everybody organized. Get out in the streets. You know, there's more of us like Michael Moore said, there's more of us than there is them.
And Iraq Veterans Against the War will be out in the streets today. Keep an eye out.
Yep. So we'll be back Friday, February 20th at 9 a.m. And there it is.
At the end of the early British wars, the young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore.
nominations and a thousand different fights. I was there at the Little Big Horn. I heard many men lie and I saw many more dying, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for our Youth of Color Production Internship Program. This internship is open to people of color attending college and or under the age of 30. This is a 6-month internship for 20 hours a week for $20 an hour. Responsibilities include the selection and preparation of KBOO content for national distribution using a variety of digital audio workstations and helping to develop a digital content strategy for promotion of KBOO content. Deadline to apply is Friday, January 27th at 5 p.m. More information, including skills and qualifications, can be found at kboo.fm/productionintern2017.
On Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will be hosting a Valentine's Day special. We will be reading your Valentine's shoutouts to your friends and loved ones. So whether you are locked up or your loved one is, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Attention, Prison Pipeline. And email is kbooppc@gmail.com. Then tune in and have your loved one tune in on Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m. to hear your messages read live.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10 a.m. and we're going to switch over to a feed from our good friends at Pacifica Radio. They're going to bring us their Inauguration Day special coverage. And we're going to go